say it tonight. Oh, spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for the valley. You were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you. Just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Oh, just spread your wings. Oh, yes. You weren't born. The ground, just mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Amen. Glad to see you out tonight, and excited for the youth and for the youth service. We had a youth Bible study last night, and just the Lord seemed like he was really dealing with hearts, and it was just a wonderful time of fellowship together. Appreciate Brother Wes being with us, and the service this Sunday, and Bible study last night, and looking forward to the youth service this evening. And we've had, over the last few months or year or so, there's been different young people that have said they really like certain songs, and so I kind of had on my heart to sing a few of those tonight that have stood out to the young people, since this service is for you tonight. Help me sing these tonight. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. He's the King of Kings. Our Messiah, he's the Lord of Lords. Oh, Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. Oh, he's the Lord. Our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. Worship him together tonight. He's the King of Kings. Oh, he's the Lord of Lords. My Messiah, he's the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Shout your kingdom down. Boy, I said, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, oh, let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight. Your kingdom down. Oh, now Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. For we heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. That tonight? Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Amen. When the God of this evil age is gone and our God can come and reign completely. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. God bless you tonight. We got a prayer request. We want to remember Brother Barry Weber. His nephew is still in very critical condition. He was ran over by a vehicle recently and still not responding. And the doctors are saying that there's brain cell damage. But we know that God is more than able to come on the scene even in a time like that. Amen. So we have confidence to come before the throne boldly tonight and request that God would just move on the scene in that situation. How many of you tonight have unspoken requests that you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. How many is praying for these young people tonight? Amen. Keep them in your prayers right through the service. You be praying for them, praying for Brother West, praying for the special singers and the different ones. I believe God's going to do something for us tonight. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Furman if he'd come and just lead us in a word of prayer tonight.
Let's just bow. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you hearing these serious requests, Lord, but we know that you're more than able to restore this young life, Lord, that Satan's trying to take from us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, see the young people here, and Lord, we're praying that you just give them something special, Lord. We know that you have something for us, Lord. We come expecting, Lord, and praying that you meet us here, and we believe that you've got something special for us tonight. I pray that you bless each one that's here, bless the remainder of the service, bless your bride around the world, Lord. Pray that you bless Brother Wes as he takes this time to speak to the young people, Lord. You speak through him. Give us what you would have for us, Lord. Meet each need and prayer request that's represented here, and you have your special way in this service. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And tomorrow is Saturday, and so we're not in a hurry tonight. And we've got several young people that are going to sing some specials for us tonight, so we're going to have a few more specials than we normally do. And I tried to reserve those just for the young people tonight since it's their night. And I'm going to ask Sister Naomi Johnson if she'd come first and sing a song for us. Amen. You appreciate that tonight? Amen. Amen. Sister Sierra, you got a special for us. Thankful for grace tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Will, you got a special for us this evening.
Amen. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I wrote this song a little while ago just thinking about how we need to keep the revival fires burning in our lives, how the Holy Ghost is still so important in this day, and how we've been so blessed by the Holy Ghost being in our lives, keeping us alive.
Amen.
Amen. So just worship with me as we sing the song. It's in G.
As we get older in our lives, we see a lot of compromise. People we thought are strong back then have faded away to a worldly trend. They say God's dead and he's passed away, but to my Christian friends I say, just keep revival, no matter what it costs, keep revival. even if there's loss. My God is still the same today, and He will never pass away. So keep revival. We can't let this world break us down or get our minds turned around. Working through the daily grind, we ask God to keep our steps in line. His truth is the same today, and we feel Him when we pray. So keep revival, no matter what it costs. Keep revival, oh, even if there's loss. My God is still the same today, and He will never pass away. So keep revival. Well, the Holy Ghost is for a chosen few. It doesn't matter what the world may do. Jesus paid in full our part, and His fire can warm our heart. God can touch you in the pew, and along with Him He fills me and you. Brother and sister, keep revival, no matter what it costs. Keep revival, oh, even if there's loss.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I think we've already heard a sermon in some of these songs tonight. Amen. Sister Naomi came and told us how that God would take us even through the fire. And Sister Sierra came and told us about His grace. But Will came and told us about keeping the revival. And I think Sister Adeline's going to come and tell us how it's well. Whatever you're going through tonight, we can say like the woman, it all is well.
Amen.
Amen. Is it well tonight with you? Amen. God bless you.
Yeah.
that tonight. Amen. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. You help me sing this tonight. Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I turn to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know he's able. I go to the rock. Till my storms have all passed over, who do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in these times of great tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock. Aren't you thankful you have a place? I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run into the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, all one more time together. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
God bless you. Appreciate these young people. Yes. Specials they sang tonight. Certainly appreciate that, Sister Adeline, Sister Rachel, for helping her. And amen. Feel his presence here already. Amen. Amen. Before we turn it to Brother Wes, I'm going to ask Brother Furman to come and help me with the song tonight. Same key, Sister Stephanie.
Oh, it's a highway.
God bless you tonight. Amen. Trust you're walking on that highway. If not, I hope you can get off an exit from wherever you're headed and get on that highway tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to turn the service to Brother Wes. We certainly appreciated having him with us. He just feels like one of the home folks. I believe this is kind of his home away from home. So certainly an honor and a privilege to introduce him to you tonight. You young people, just pull as hard as you can. And you old people, just pray for the young people. Amen. God bless you tonight.
That's why the preacher usually waits till the singing's over to come up, so you don't wear your voice off out. But I usually sing down there too, so I thought I'd just come up here and worship with the body. You know, normally at home when we have the Bible studies or the youth services, we hold them in the fellowship hall unless it's a real serious topic. If it's a real serious topic, you know, that the Lord's really put a real heavy weight on me, then we'll bring it over into the main sanctuary. And you know, normally they're really casual, and I can dress the way that's comfortable to me normally, and a suit and tie is not my natural attire. I've never been too comfortable in a suit and tie. It's one of the trials that God kind of put on me, you know, to show my respect to Him and to His pulpit. And you know, I told Brother Nathan this afternoon, I was telling him, I said, I studied one time pretty in depth trying to find out if there was a loophole that I could bring this necktie back to the devil to where we could be free of these things. Well, turns out that the necktie started in France. They had a breastplate and they had a helmet and everything, but there was this hole right here, right where their neck was at, where they could stick a sword straight in there or a spear straight in there, and it was just a chink in the armor, so to speak. And so they had to cover up for that, because they were completely covered in armor, and they'd come up and one jab and they're gone, you know. So they had to tie a knot and a big piece of rope and put it around there, and that eventually became what we now know today as the necktie. So since it's part of armor, I guess it's only fitting that preachers should have to wear them once in a while, right, brother? when they're preaching. I still hate them, though. I still do. I would like to remind the older people in the crowd tonight. I know you're all young at heart. I know we're all the same age in eternity. There's not going to be any difference. This is one body. I always tell the young people that they are not the church of tomorrow. I told them this last night. They are absolutely not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of right now.
Amen.
And we are all one body. And we're to work together as one body. And that's what I try to always get them to understand. Because when we section them off and make them into a different group, it kills them and it kills us. We always have casualties as a result. It always happens. So, older folks, since this is geared more towards their needs tonight, maybe, if you would, try to realize that Satan wants to sift them. He wants to sift us all, but he in particular wants to sift them. He wants to cut them up. He wants to chop them up. He wants to turn them to dust. He wants to destroy them, destroy their homes, destroy their testimonies. He wants to destroy their lives. He wants to, while they're in the beginning stages of their Christian walk, he wants to flatten their testimony to where they can make so many mistakes and they can get hurt so bad that they never can recover from it, to where they can stand up and proclaim to the world who their Savior is, who their Lord is, who their God is. He wants to make them cowards at this stage right here. He wants to beat them down. So since Satan desires to sift them, we should pray for them in this hour more than any other.
Amen.
We should lift them up more than any other. We should encourage them more than any other. You know, it doesn't have to be your child to pray for them. And I know I'm not preaching to you, but I'm just saying, we should be mindful of this and try to remember this at all times. So I would encourage you tonight, while these young people are while we're doing this little Bible study, this little journey through the Word, that you all be mindful to pray for them. That if there's anything missing, that maybe the Lord can reveal it through His Word tonight.
Amen.
And that maybe He can help some of these young people. Sister Naomi is made a decision to give her life to the Lord and to follow Him and take His name in water baptism. we should all rejoice at that. To me, that's one of the happiest occasions that can happen.
Amen.
It's just like stomping right on the devil's neck every time one of them goes into that baptismal water, you know. And a lot of people say, well, she's just a young girl. She doesn't know what she's doing. We'll address that in just a little while, sis. We'll address that in just a little while. If you will, open your Bibles to a very familiar passage. I think that it's probably one of the saddest, if not the saddest, in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. This is after Adam and Eve have fallen in temptation. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, Lord, without your help, without your presence here tonight, without your spirit, Lord, this would be in vain. But Lord, we know that your word does not return void. We know, Lord, that if we can set ourselves aside, if you can just put me over to the side, Lord, and speak through me, that souls can be saved, that lives can be changed forever, that tonight can be the pivoting moment for somebody, for something to change, for a victory to be won, Lord. And Lord, we're asking you, with all reverence, all respect, and all love and admiration, Lord, and with all our worshiping hearts, Lord, together with love, we ask you to just make that happen. Lord, in spite of this human vessel, please, Lord, just make that happen and help anyone, Lord, under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Man was made. He was designed. He was created to have fellowship with God. You ever wonder what the meaning of life is? You ever say to yourself, what am I here for? Why was I born? Why did I come to be in this world? Was it just because my parents came together and I'm a product of their union and that's it? Just a byproduct of their union, of their love? Do you ever just think about it? Do you ever, when you're alone, just wonder, you know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What is the meaning of all this? Why, you know, what am I supposed to do? You young people, you've got lots of dreams, don't you? I know you like to play football. You probably have some dreams and aspirations about playing football. It'd probably be really, really nice if I offered you a professional football career contract someday, wouldn't it? Be kind of nice. Some of you may go to school. Some of you may want to be engineers. My son became an engineer. He works in nuclear fuels in Tennessee. And he became an engineer. He had to work very hard. It was one of his dreams. He was a genius when it came to math. And he just had the natural ability. God just gifted him with the ability to understand all of that stuff. And that was one of his dreams. And he pursued it. And he was able to accomplish that dream. And, you know, there's going to be dreams that you have that you'll accomplish, and there's going to be some that you'll have that you won't accomplish. How many of you all would like to someday have a family? Raise your hand. Okay, have your own children maybe. So you've got a career in your mind. How many of you all kind of want to know what you want to do, think you know what you want to do? Quite a few of you. You know, it's funny. If you'll notice, you younger ones almost all raise your hands when I ask that. But if you look at the ones that are college age, high school age, a lot of them aren't as quick. Because what you're so sure of when you're younger, you're not so sure of when you're getting ready to jump out of the nest, are you? It's a little harder then, isn't it? Because you're a little more unsteady. What seemed like such a clear-cut idea before, you're starting to see the reality of the obstacles that stand between you and your dream, aren't you? It's not always easy. Let's say you decided you wanted to be an astronaut. That's a tough road. You've got to overcome a lot of obstacles to become an astronaut. You might be able to do it. You might not. You might be 1 inch too tall. You know you can't be a 6'3" astronaut? Trust me. Not literally. I mean, spiritually you can be. But not literally. They won't take you. You're too big. You won't fit in the equipment or the suits or anything else. They have a specific size and weight that you have to be. You know, maybe you want to be an Air Force pilot, something like that. You couldn't do that because you wear corrective lenses. They wouldn't take you. Automatically disqualified. You have to have 20/20 vision or better. There goes your dream. If you dreamed it from the time you were a little boy, you run into that obstacle, can't be overcome. They won't let you do it if you have the operation because it causes some problems there. It could cause, you know, an issue. So they won't do it even if you get corrective surgery to change your eyes. So you see, you know, no matter what your dreams are, you don't know if they'll come true or not. You work towards them and you hope, but you don't know. Because there's this thing that we always forget. We forget that we were made for a purpose. And that something happened one day that separated us from our true purpose. Something happened that took our true purpose in life away. It happened in a garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, and we hear God calling out to him. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, "Where art thou?" Fellowship was broken. Sin entered in. Adam and Eve, shortly after, took their first steps into the beginning of Satan's Eden. Out of the Garden of Eden, out of God's Eden. Satan didn't have full control yet, but he was already working on his plans. He had started those plans in the garden. He probably started them in heaven when he rebelled against God and was cast down. Now, being a son or a daughter of God, you have one true purpose in life. And it's not to be a nurse or a secretary or a business owner. That's not your one true purpose in life. Those are little things that you might do to make a living. But you'll find out, like my son did, who worked so hard to be an engineer. Once he became an engineer, the romance was over. The work began. Being an engineer wasn't so much fun as he thought it was going to be. It wasn't such a, you know, the dream position he imagined. He has to get up every morning and go. He has to show up. He has to do work when he gets there. That paycheck doesn't come for free. He has to follow the rules and go by the guidelines, and there's lots of regulations and all this stuff that sort of rips the imagination away and rips the dream part of it away. And if you're not ready for that reality, life will smack you so hard you won't know which way is up. Life will smack you so hard your mama will feel it. It does. It really will. Now let me ask you this. If God came to you and he said, "Sister Summer," he said, "I'm going to give you one wish. Whatever you want, you say it. It's yours." What would you say? Do you have an idea? Any idea at all? This thing's starting to act up. Okay. Do you have a wish? What would you wish for? You know? Have you ever thought about anybody? Anybody want to speak up? If you had a wish, Well, if you could wish anything, what would it be, brother? God comes right in front of you and says, I'll give you whatever you want to wish for. What would you wish for? You don't know? Anybody got an idea? What would you wish for? 200 acres what? In Iowa. Okay. Hey, fair enough. That's pretty good. 200 acres in Iowa, that'd be pretty good. Did you know that God actually appeared to a young man and asked him? He told him, he said, I'll grant you your wish. Whatever you desire, you ask it and I'll do it. Anybody know who that was?
Solomon.
Let's look over in 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. You know, when you walk out in front of these young people and you start to teach them something, you start to preach to them, you've had it on your heart, the pressure starts to build, and you see all these souls before you here. Brother Stephen, I know you know what I'm talking about. And you know you've got this limited time, and you're looking at them, and they're just absolutely precious. You can't imagine the devil having his way with them. And you know that you're going to fight as hard as you can. You're going to give it everything you can. But that shadow of the juniper tree just starts crawling over you. And the weight of that burden starts pressing down on you. And you get a little bit serious sometimes. And you know, young people, they've got energy and they've got vitality. And they want to have fun. And serious stuff kind of makes them nervous, you know. And the kids down at Happy Valley, when I work with them, I've got people there that help me, you know. The ladies kind of help me, you know, to pick up on things with the young sisters where I might be making them nervous or maybe I could do it a little bit better. And there's a couple of brothers that help me, you know. And there's this one brother, and he'll just walk by me, and he'll just, as I'm walking, you know, as he's walking by, he'll go, smile. And he'll remind me to smile because I have this face that, you know, just has this look about it, this stern look without me even meaning to. I was just born with it. And he calls it my Viking face. He says, you got your Viking face on, you need to smile. You know? And he always tells me that, you know. And the kids down there, they learned this one thing. If you were going to go camping, sis, would you want to go camping knowing that there was a grizzly bear loose in the woods right near you? No, you wouldn't want to know that. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want to go there, would you? You wouldn't want to be in a tent with a piece of fabric between you and a grizzly bear, would you? That would not be a good place. How about you, brother? You think you can handle a grizzly bear? No. How about you, brother Isaiah? What? You would run? Well, see, this is the thing the kids at Happy Valley have figured out. Okay? If the grizzly bear's on your side, you'd sleep real easy, wouldn't you? If you knew the grizzly bear was guarding you, then it'd be a lot better, right? You could sleep real easy. This grizzly bear's your best friend. You know, he's looking out for you. He's concerned about you, and he's going around and around that tent watching out for you. Then all of a sudden, it's a good thing, right? Well, just think of me like that. I may be big and ugly. I might look like a grizzly bear. I might get real serious sometimes, but it's because I love you and because I'm circling the tent and I'm trying to keep that old nasty coyote out that's after your souls, the one that wants to sift you, the one that wants to kill you. So, Brother Nathan, if I don't look over enough for you to remind me, then you all try to remember that, okay? All right, we'll get back to this now. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. He's basically saying, you got your shot, buddy, one wish. You ask, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." So basically, long story short, he's saying, My dad was very righteous. You and him got along real good. You were really good to him. And now you've blessed him with me, his son, and you've put me on the throne. Thank you. You know, that's it in a nutshell. And now the Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. He's saying, I don't know what to do to be a king. I don't even know what a king does. I'm not sure exactly what to do to go out to battle. I'm not exactly sure how to act when we come back. I'm not exactly sure how to run a kingdom. This is a big job. I'm just a kid. You know, I wasn't paying attention when Dad was doing all that stuff. So he's making his case to God. If you ask me, he's already got a little bit of wisdom right here. Okay? He's already on the right track. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So God was very happy. He's saying, hey, give me the wisdom, Lord, to watch over your people. Solomon was not selfish. Solomon's dream was for the others. Solomon was a preacher. He was a minister king. Now, he had his shortcomings, don't get me wrong. And he made his mistakes. But what was his heart for? His heart was for the people. He wanted the wisdom to take care of those people. That's what he was asking God for. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for 200 acres in Illinois, nor hast thou the life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given unto thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now, what was Solomon doing that we can learn from? What was Solomon doing? He was saying, Lord, I'm ignoring all my dreams. I'm ignoring everything I want to do. And I'm putting my life in your hands. I'm asking you, O King, please give me the wisdom to take care of your people. He was looking to the King of Heaven. And saying, please, Lord, give me what I need to keep these people safe and happy. He wasn't saying, give to me riches, give me all the prettiest wives, give me all the riches, and give me this and give me that. He was saying, give me something I can give to them, that I can use for them to keep them safe, to keep them happy. And because of this, God gave him that wisdom. God gave it to him. He was trying to bridge the gap. You see, Solomon had enough in him to say, there is something missing. My dreams are not going to accomplish this. Now, we know Solomon went on to be the man who spoke of the vanities of life. He talked about how man, and with all of his greatest dreams, could accomplish even his greatest dreams. He could build anything. He could build great buildings. He could build great gardens. He could do all these things. And right after he dies, he's forgotten. You might accumulate great wealth and power. You might become, you know, great among all the people and everything else. And just as soon as you're dead, you're forgotten and you're gone like dust in the wind. You disappear. You're just not there anymore. And nobody thinks about you anymore. After your children are gone, your grandchildren didn't know you and your great-grandchildren didn't know you. And you're just a name back in history. And they might hear a story about you now and then. But other than that, they don't know you. You're not there to enjoy it anyway, right? So what Satan wants you to do is he wants to sift you. He wants to sift you. He wants to take your eye off the prize. The prize is reestablishing fellowship with God. Reestablishing your communion with God. Becoming one with God again. Taking the path back to Eden. That's what he wants to stop you from doing. Satan will do anything to stop you. He's got all kinds of weapons at his disposal. And guess what? Destroying you is very easy if you don't have knowledge. If you don't know the scriptures, you make his job easy. That's why the Bible study is so important. Because he can sift you. He can chop you up. He can scatter you. He can destroy you. That's what it's all about. That's how simple it is. Fellowship's been broken. You were designed to be in fellowship with God. Amen. Listen, when God puts a burden on your heart and you start to love the people, you know, you look into a young woman's face, you look into a young man's face, and you see that soul that God put there. And you get this burden for them. And you go, that's not just some little kid I don't know right there. That's 10,000 worlds. That's a precious jewel to God. This is, you know, and you start to see the value. And then you start to see, hey, wait a minute. She's part of the same body I am. And I see my sister here and I'm like, Lord, if I see the devil coming to her, I'm going to go crazy. I've got to get to her and explain to her what the devil's up to before he has his way with her and destroys her and cuts her down. And the burden and the love just grows and it grows and it grows. And then you see some take it. And you see some that join with God and they become one with God and the fellowship's reunited and they become one with God and they get the Holy Ghost. You know? And things start to happen and you see some get so strong in the Lord and then you see some that look like they're real strong. They've got the legalistic part down for quite a while and they're going right along and underneath the surface they're just rotting them away because they don't have the life of God in there. And all of a sudden one day that gets to be too much and they fall away. Satan gets them and they fall away. It breaks your heart. So, here's the thing. Think of me as an arms dealer. I want to arm you to the teeth. Sis, I want to give you hand grenades. I want to give you missiles. I want to give you submarines. I want to give you atomic bombs. When the devil sees you, all he hears is, my mouth's not too dry. All he hears is, okay? I want him to hate it when he sees you coming because you're armed so well. I want you to blow him away. I want him to have no grip, no hold. I don't want him to get you and stuff you in his sifter. Now, here's the problem. Here's the thing that the ministry faces when it comes to young people. Here's one of the biggest tools that the devil has that really messes with you all and messes you up, and that is confusion. Confusion. How many of you all could, just raise your hand, if you could stand up right now, take the floor, and tell everybody here what they need to do to get the Holy Ghost? How many of you could do it? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you could come right up here and stand up. And if there was somebody sitting here that wanted it, you could tell them, this is what you've got to do right now, and you can walk out that door with the Holy Ghost tonight. And you could tell them with absolute surety. Can any of you do it? You know why? You know why you hesitate? You know why I've not seen one hand that just sprung up instantly? Because of confusion. Confusion. Because you're not sure. You know why you're not sure? How could you know why you're not sure? If you're not sure, that don't even make sense. You're not sure because of confusion. There's too much confusion around. It's not simple. There was a Bible salesman one time. See, Solomon asked for wisdom. Hang on to that. Don't forget that. Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. Don't forget that. But let's skip over to a second. There was a Bible salesman one time. He was actually a missionary. And what he would do is he took it upon himself through a call of God or whatever it was. He would go to schools and he would hand out Bibles. And he'd give them these little New Testaments and he'd hand one out to each of the children. And he would preach the gospel for a few minutes and then he'd move on to the next school. Well, he stopped at a school one time. This story was told to me as though it were true. I don't know the origin of this story. I've looked for it a couple of times. Brother Nathan looked for it. I couldn't find it. I was told this story as though it's true, but it doesn't matter. The point's what matters. So we're going to go to the point, okay? He goes to this school one day, and the lady at the school goes, "Well, the children here are mentally retarded. They most of them have Down syndrome or have damaged brains, and they're not really, you know, the type of children you're used to. So, you know, do you still want to do it?" And the man thought about it and waited out, and he was getting ready to leave, and then he thought, "Well, no, an opportunity is an opportunity. Maybe one of them will understand. Perhaps one." So he went, and he gave each one of the children a Bible, and he preached the gospel in simplicity. He told them about the Lord Jesus and how that each one of them had sinned. And he asked him, he said, "You know, has anybody here ever told a lie?" And they replied, you know, some of them said yes. And he explained to them they had sinned and they saw it, you know, they had sinned. And he told them, he said, "Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you would go to hell." And they, of course, got really scared when he explained what hell was. And so then he said, "But because the Lord Jesus came and died for you, you don't have to go to hell. He's going to come again someday for you. If you accept him as your Lord." And he gave them the Bibles and everything. He asked them, "Who wants to accept him as their Lord?" And they said, "When is he coming today?" "No, we don't know what day he's coming. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be a week from now. We don't know when he's coming." And they said, "Where's he coming to?" And he goes, "Well, these windows over here are on the east side of the building. So when he comes, that sky is going to open up. It's just going to split apart. And the Lord Jesus is going to come. There's going to be the blast of a trumpet. And you're going to meet the Lord Jesus in the air." And, you know, he led several of them, or led them to the Lord. And then he left. Well, he was making his rounds. And a year later, he comes back. When he comes in, the janitor is there. And the janitor, and he said, "Well, you know, I've come to give the Bibles out again." They were like, "Okay, you're welcome. Come on in, you know." And they asked the janitor to come over and show him something. So the janitor took him to those windows on the east side. Took him to those windows on the east side of the building. And he said, "I can't keep these windows clean." He said, "And as high up as anybody could reach, there was handprints and face prints all over those windows." And he looked across to the other side of the hall, and they were clean and crystal clear. But over here on the east side, they were smeared with little face prints and handprints. God is revealed in simplicity. He is revealed in simplicity. It's not complicated. God promised that if you would trust him, if you asked him for wisdom, he would give it to you. He promised that in his word. In James, in the book of James, in the first chapter, he says, if you'll ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally. He said, but don't ask Don't ask not believing, because a double-minded man won't receive anything. You've got to ask believing. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is make a decision. There have been people that have come to me before and they've had horrible things done to them by other people. And they had to forgive those people to move on. And they thought they couldn't forgive those people because they thought the person had done something so horrible to them. And they'll say, I tried to forgive them, but then I pick it back up again. It's a very simple thing to overcome. You choose to forgive. You choose to forgive. The emotions will come back. The hate will try to overtake you. And when it does, you say, no. No, I've already forgiven them. This emotion's here and I reject it. I don't like this emotion, but the emotion does not mean I have not forgiven them. I forgive them. And I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not seeking revenge. I've asked the Lord to forgive them. I've forgiven them. And I'm putting it behind me. And you keep resisting like that. And little by little, you can come to a place to where you could actually go before the Lord with that person. And the Lord could put it in your hands to condemn them to hell or to put them in heaven. And you would beg him for their soul. No matter what they'd done to you. That's what the love of God can do. And that's how easy it is to decide to believe God's word. It's a decision. Brother, you just have to decide to believe him. That's it. You just have to decide to take him at his word. Sister Naomi, you heard the words in Acts 2:38, did you not? Repent. Have you repented? Repent. Turn away from your sin. You can only do that with God's help. You go to him and ask him to show him your sin. Esau tried to repent. Saying I'm sorry is not repenting. You have to turn away from it. You have to ask God's help. God will lead you to repentance. He'll show you what your life is without him if you ask him to. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why does the devil want to complicate that so much? Because he wants to sift you. Why do you have such a hard time receiving that and believing it? Because of the lies of the devil. It's so simple. Those little children in that home who were mentally retarded could receive the salvation of Jesus Christ, and there are people who are almost geniuses that can't. There are people who are almost geniuses and they can't do it. They can't do it because they've taken the simplicity out of the gospel. Yes, there are deep, deep things in the gospel and revelations that God can show us. But you know how he attacks you young people? Is this confusion that just abounds. It abounds. You all are the closest to the truth. You're at the front lines of the war. You're at the very front lines of the war because this is where the truth is. Satan's going to do everything he can to confuse your mind and to slow you down and to stop you, to make you doubt yourself, to make you doubt God's word. Because see, it's not, oh, I don't know if I really have the Holy Ghost or not. I got baptized and I don't know if I really got it or not. That's confusion. What did God's word say? Did you meet him at his word?
Amen.
Did you meet him at his word? Did you believe him? That's a choice. All you have to do is say, I choose to believe God's word. I choose to believe what he said. He promised me in his word. He promised me that if I would repent of my sins and I would be baptized and take his name in water baptism, he promised me that I would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who is the devil to tell you any different? Why would you let your doubt speak to you? Why would you let the devil lie to you and bring confusion into your life and rob you of all your victory and beat you down and make you wonder? If he can get it so confusing that you just sit around half-baked at church all the time, if he can make it so confusing and so hard that you're not sure of anything, then he can get you focused on your dreams out here in the world that are taking you away from God. You'll find more joy in playing a video game than you will sitting and listening to the word. I promise you, every time you'll do it. It will seem like so much more fun because you can rest your mind. If every time you look at God's word, the devil comes in and he goes, hey, he said this, but what do you think that means? Do you think that really means this or do you think it means that? What about so-and-so over here? They preach this. And so-and-so over there, they preach that. And what about that guy over there? He said this. And oh, your friend at school, he goes to a different kind of church altogether. He goes to a denominational church. But hey, he seems like a nicer guy than some of the guys you know in the message. And he starts just swirling around you, trying to drown you in confusion. And you're missing the simplicity of the gospel, guys. And girls, you're missing it. It's so simple. He just is trying. It's like he's trying to just hold you away from a target. My football brother here. It's like he's trying to keep you out of the end zone. That's all it is. It's a fight. It's a battle to keep you so confused you can't be simple. Little sister, all you have to do is believe. Only believe. That's all you have to do. It's that simple, brother. That's all you have to do. And you could stand and walk up here and go, I want to take the name of Jesus Christ. I want to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. I want to reestablish my fellowship with God. I want to tear down the kingdom of hell. I want to tear down all of hell. I want to tear it down. I want to accept what God said and reject the lies and the confusion of the devil. I want to stand here and I want to tell you it's this simple. I told the Lord I'm sorry. I repented of my sins. I asked him to lift the burden of the sin off of me. I asked him to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to my life. I went up there and I was buried in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and I take his name, and I'm more proud of his name than any of my dreams or anything I want to do. I'm more proud of that than anything else. It's that simple. Amen. You could go straight, you could die that moment and stand before God, and he could not put you in hell. You say, that's bold, Brother Wes. That's bold. That's pretty bold. God's not a liar. God is not a liar. And if you can believe it so much, you could say, Lord, you can't put me in hell. I met you at your word and I believe. I wouldn't let the devil himself talk me out of it. I believe. I am a believer. No matter what the devil throws at me, I am a believer. You clear those cobwebs of confusion and doubt out and you grab a hold of it. Look at poor old Solomon. And now I'm telling you, young men and young women, he was sitting right where you are. Daddy got off track. This is going to pinch. Is that okay? Daddy got off track. He got to looking at a woman that God didn't give him. Instead of staying with what God gave him, he started chasing this other woman. Started chasing this pet doctrine. This confusion. Got everything all messed up. Took the sword out of his hand and it started coming against him. His union with that false doctrine brought death to his house. Brought death to his brother. Brought in confusion. Brought in sorrow. Yeah, David eventually repented, but death had already made its mark on his family because he rejected the simplicity of God's plan. He wanted something other than what God gave him. God gave him a simple gospel. Oh, there's brilliant, brilliant scholars. I can't tell you how many times Brother Branham spoke against theologians and their great swelling pride and their great ambitious doctrines and all the things that they could conjure and doctor of this and doctor of that. And they were just so brilliant. They were so brilliant. He spoke against it and spoke against it and spoke against it. And what has it done? It nestled down and made and put down roots right in the middle of the message. You want to seal it? You want it settled once and for all? Come at God like a little child. Not some great debater. Some master of confusion. You want to start a journey with God? You want to get back in fellowship with God? You want to beat the odds? 1,000,000 to 1? I'm telling you how to beat the odds. Press your face against the glass. Forget everything. Forsake everything. Reject the confusion. Say, Lord, it's me and you. I'm taking you at your word. You're right on the front battle line. Everything's coming at you. Two Souls, Perugia, you name it. You could go down the list. I'm sure you know 100 of them. Who cares? That's confusion. That's Bathsheba. What you need is Jesus Christ. What you need is take his name. Not some great teacher out here, not somebody like that. You need to take the name of Jesus Christ. Is this too plain for you to take? Is it too simple? Is it too simple? Who's the one that died for you? You know, it was God who humbled himself down to the point of being naked and alone on a cross with his blood spilling out for you. Encircled by bulls, spitting on him, ripping out his beard. It was God. That was God. And he did it for you. And you would listen to all these other people instead of him? What's John 1:1 says? That's right, Sister Anna. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That God of that Word that promised you a simple promise is standing right at this altar waiting for you to believe it. He's waiting for you to believe it. Just simply believe him. Forget everything else. Forsake everything else and believe him. That's what Brother Branham wanted you to do. Simply believe God. That's what he would tell you. He'd say, don't listen to any of this stuff. Go get a hold of God. Get a hold of God's word. Please, you're going to have to shake yourself because the devil wants to sift you. He wants to rip you apart. He wants to confuse you. You can have absolute victory tonight. It's totally yours. It's totally yours. It's up to you. Now get the title of this. Get the title of this real good. In The Rejected King. They like to live through 6 days any way they want to and go to church on Sunday morning and are fine. Intellectual college graduate and plenty of degrees can speak to them little sermon that will, you know, a few jokes and will tickle their ears and cause them to be entertained like some movie or television program and say a little prayer over them and send them home with a kind of self-satisfied security that they've done their religion. That is not the will of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to live godly every day in the week and every night, separating yourselves from the things of the world. But the church don't want that. They want some man who can interpret the Bible the way they want to hear it. They won't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Bible. That's what a prophet will tell you. Have you ever listened to somebody preaching and they started preaching so deep and so weird and they started taking you off into some direction and you didn't even know what in the world you were listening to? And you weren't sure what in the world it was supposed to do for you? There's either one of two things. It's either the absolute truth and your soul's feeding on it and it's going to bring you to a rapture, or it's absolute lies and confusion that's meant to bring you under submission of the man that's speaking it. I tell you this, if God wants you to know, he'll bring you the revelation. If you don't understand it, don't profess it. You can profess this. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a promise from God. Who can interpret the Bible any way they want to hear it? They won't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Bible. How is the Holy Spirit going to do it? He's going to speak through the Bible. You know, Brother Nathan was talking about the foot wash people. When people were going to the, you know, walking down the road and they wanted the foot wash flunky, and he was talking about walking down these dirty roads, you know, and sometimes you stepped in some pretty bad stuff. You know, the hard dirt was fine, but the soft dirt, okay, not so good, right? Not so good to step in that soft dirt. We know what that is. So what we need when we're going through the path of life is we need to be able to see where we're going. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform that I will keep thy righteous judgments. This word is a light to your path. It'll help you step in the right spot. It'll help you avoid those places that you shouldn't step. The Bible says my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. They don't know the word. Young people, you need to study the Bible more than anything else. You need to study your Bible and pray. And you need to be at church every time the doors are open. If you've got a godly man like this one right here, that'll preach you the truth and go right down the center of the road and not put you in this ditch or that ditch or off on a side road that leads to a false doctrine. You need to stick with it. You stay in that word for yourself. And let me tell you what'll happen. Let me explain this to you. I'm not a musician. I couldn't tune that guitar right there without some aid of a mechanical device or something. I couldn't tune that guitar for $1,000. If he twisted the strings around and handed it to me, you'd all be in trouble. There's no way I could tune that guitar because it's not something I focus on, something I understand. Sis, you play the piano, right? Yeah. You're learning to play the piano. But I bet you're already at the point, if you hit a key and it was out of tune and the piano was messed up, you go, oh, that didn't sound right. Because you're used to it. You're used to playing the piano. And you're used to, you know, you may not be a virtuoso yet, but you're getting to the point where you'd know if something wasn't right. You know? You would know. You want to hear an uncertain sound? You want to know if it's uncertain or not? Get to know your scriptures. Amen. Get in your Bible. Some man gets up and starts preaching the false doctrine. All of a sudden, that string don't sound right. That's not going to, that don't hit the right tune. Something's out of whack. And you don't have to be a theologian, do you, sis? You just have to know your word. That's all it takes. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be somebody who loves the Lord and wants to reestablish that communion with God, that union. You want to walk with him in the cool of the day. You were built to worship. That's what you were built for. You were built to worship. You were built to be part of God, to have fellowship, communion with God. You were built to walk with God in peace and harmony. You were built to be loved by God. That's why you were made. That's your real purpose in life. You were made to be loved by God and to figure out how to get to know him good enough, because once you get to know him good enough, you love him. You can't help it. You cannot help it. You take the mask off the devil, you're never going to be happy with what you get. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Recently, I had a correspondence with an atheist. He said I was childish because I believed in God. Now, that might make some of you a little angry if somebody said, you're childish. You've got the mind of a child. You don't understand science. You're just not up to speed. You're like some prehistoric caveman, you know. Go bow down in your cave and throw some dust on a fire and speak some spells or something. You're just an idiot, you know, for believing in God. You're just childish. Only a moron could believe in God. I said, well, I answered him back. I thought, you know, I could throw a bunch of theology at him. I could try to argue with him. I could talk about how, you know, all the things I've discovered studying apologetics, about how the very shape of the galaxies, the very shape of them, transcends down onto the earth into the shape of seashells, into the shape of cells, into the structure of the DNA. Einstein even said you'd be a fool not to believe in God because it's obvious there's a, you know, where there's a design, there's a designer. I could have gone that route, tried to overwhelm him with my intellect, which, by the way, I don't have a great intellect, so I'm just joking. But what I told him was this. I said, well, I said, before I gave my heart to the Lord, I was walking in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. He probably thought, what in the world is he talking about? I said, I was unhappy. Some of my dreams were coming true, some of them weren't. The things I thought I wanted, I would get them, and they didn't satisfy me. But since I gave my heart to the Lord, he changed my whole disposition. I said, I'm now married, father of four. I've got a happy home. There's no drug addiction. There's no violence. We're not, you know. There's, you know, we go to church on Sunday. We don't wake up with hangovers. You know. I'm blessed with the greatest friends I've ever had. My children have all got really good jobs and go to church every time the doors are open. And I've now got my first beautiful grandchild. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I don't have to worry about drug addiction. I don't have to worry about, you know, my children being disrespectful and talking to me like a dog. I don't have to worry about anything. I've got peace in my life that I never had before I came to the Lord. So I said, if that's being childish, then I want to be a child. Amen. You know, I told him, I'm going to pray for you. And I did. So I'm going to pray for you that maybe the Lord will open your eyes and that you can find some peace, because I said, I don't think you had peace. And they didn't respond back. That shut his mouth. He was the kind of person, you know, what they call on the internet, a troll. You know, they're going to say something. Well, that shut his mouth. He didn't respond back after that. Now, this is it. Not one of you. You're either too shy, you either knew how and you were too shy, or you do not know how. You did not know how before tonight to receive the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. It could be over tonight. Be yours tonight. And you could walk out those doors not only different than you were when you came in, but you could walk out those doors completely and totally victorious. Armed to the teeth. When you fall to your knees to pray, it could be like an atomic bomb going off at the gate of hell. The littlest, smallest one, the one that thinks they're the most insignificant among you. So it's your choice. It's your choice. You want to cut through the confusion and nail it down? Here's one more opportunity. If you don't take that opportunity, I hope you get another one, but you're not promised it. Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I had no idea that this was going to go this way tonight. I didn't know I was even going to be preaching on the Holy Ghost. It was you all that pulled it out of me. I had no idea I was going this direction. So, do you believe Acts 2:38? How many of you do you think, if somebody said, what do I need to do to get the Holy Ghost? How many of you could give them the simple answer tonight? Boo, devil. Boo. You're not going to stop this bride, stinking devil. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you with all of our might, all of our strength, all of our heart. Lord, we love you. You've given me no choice. I'm just going to be honest, Lord. I didn't know how to love you. I didn't know what you wanted from me. I didn't know how to reach you. I didn't know how to reach out to you. It was you that led me. It was you that came and got me through men of God preaching the word, through the scripture, through many different avenues. You came to me. And you pulled me in, Lord, and you showed me the path. You shined the light of your word down in front of me so that I could see where I was going, so that I could find my way to you. You cheated on my behalf, you might say, because the devil wanted to destroy me, and I wanted to help him. Lord, I thank you for all the grace you've given me and all the mercy you've shown me in my life, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, because I know that there's a young person here tonight, Lord, that's coming to meet you in the water. That's coming to take your name, Lord. And I know it's not in her heart, Lord, to take your name in vain, but she wants to let your life live through her. Lord, I ask that you show her great mercy. And Lord, I don't normally do altar calls, so to speak, but Lord, I know that you want me to make the invitation plain and pure tonight to anybody who wants to come to this altar and leave their old life behind. Who wants to nail it down once and for all and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost can do that, Lord. Whether it be a young person or an adult, if they want to come to this altar tonight, you'll meet them here. We thank you, Lord, for this invitation. We thank you for your great love for us, Lord. And Lord, we're just going to turn it over to the work of your Spirit now. In Jesus' name we pray. Brother Nathan.
Amen. You love the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I wonder how many would slip up their hand and say, the Lord was speaking to me tonight. He was dealing with me on some things that I've been going through, some things I've been worried about, some things I've been thinking about. Oh my. God sees each hand. Amen. His presence is here tonight. You don't have to go out the same way that you came in. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been fighting. Maybe you've been running. Maybe Satan's tried to cut you off at every avenue. Maybe he's tried to discourage you. Maybe he's used your own friends against you to try to influence you to do things you know that's not right. Maybe he's tried to beat you down and tell you you're not worthy or you'll never make it. Or maybe he's tried to make it confusing to you, like Brother West said. But he laid it out simple tonight. Amen. God is here to meet your needs. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see each hand tonight that was raised. You see each need that was represented, Father. Lord, I believe you're speaking to hearts tonight. Lord, I believe that you're going to do some extraordinary things in lives tonight, Lord, that you're going to give new direction, that you're going to give encouragement, that you're going to give peace, that you're going to grant freedom and deliverance. Lord, maybe some of these young people have struggled. Maybe they've tried their very best to do it on their own. But Lord, we can never make it on our own. We need you in our lives. Maybe Satan's tried to set traps for him. Maybe he set stumbling blocks for him. Maybe he's tried to tempt him. And maybe he's tried to lie to him. Maybe he's tried to tell him all kinds of things and tried to get him not to believe in you, or to get him to believe in you but not to give him enough grace to think that you care enough about him to forgive him, or that you can't see the circumstances that they're facing, Lord. But you know all about it. You're speaking to hearts tonight, Father. May you just move on the scene for each one. Lord, if they have needs tonight, help them to recognize they don't have to go out of here with those needs, Lord, but they can lay them at your altar. Lord, if they need salvation, that they don't have to go out with the question in their mind whether or not they're saved, but that you can move on the scene and save them. Lord, if they've accepted you as Savior, but Satan's tried to beat them up and make them question whether they got the Holy Ghost or not, Lord, help them to recognize they can receive it tonight. Oh, Jesus, if they need healing, Lord, help them to have the faith to receive it. Lord, you said in your word, unless we come as a little child, Lord, just so simple, so humble, not a know-it-all, not somebody that's got it all figured out, but just that childlike faith is what you honor and respect, Father. Lord, may you respect these tonight that's raised their hand, that's admitted that they know you're speaking to their need. Lord, may you move on the scene for each one tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Oh, let's sing that together. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. Let's just worship him tonight. Oh, just to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like I only ask to be like him. As they play that softly tonight, why don't you just forget about everybody else tonight but you and Jesus? Not just to the young people, from the youngest to the oldest. Don't think about the person sitting beside you. Don't think about the person that rode here with you in the car. Don't think about your parents or this one or that one. Don't think about what anybody's going to think or anybody's going to say. Just you and Jesus tonight. If you have a need tonight, you're welcome to come up here around the altar and pray. We'll pray with you if you want. You're welcome to kneel right there in your seat. Whatever you feel led to do. If you feel God calling you, though, don't let nothing stand in your way. Let it be just you and Jesus. Lay aside everything else. Every worry, every fear, every doubt, every confusion, every anxiety, whatever Satan's tried to lay on you. What about what so-and-so did? What about what so-and-so said? What about what this one thinks and that one thinks? Just lay all that aside tonight and let it just be you and Jesus. Why don't you talk to him a little while tonight about what you're going through, about what you've had on your heart, about what he's been speaking to you about tonight in the service. Let's just spend some time together with Him tonight, just you and Jesus. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to spend time with you tonight. Lord, we want to lay aside everything else. Oh, Lord, every fear, every doubt, every question, every worry, anything that anybody would try to think negative or anything that would hinder them. Lord, help us to put it all away tonight. Let it just be us and you tonight. Lord, when it comes right down to it, it's not us and our parents. It's not us and our grandparents. It's not us and the pastor or us and the deacons. It's us and Jesus. It's got to come down to that relationship, that fellowship. Lord, maybe we've had godly parents that have showed us the way. Maybe we've had ministers encourage us. Maybe we've had good friends that served you and helped us and tried to show us your word, Father. But Lord, it's got to be more than that. Lord, your prophet told us, he quoted David Du Plessis saying, God don't have grandchildren. This isn't something we inherit through somebody else, but it's a relationship with you. Lord, help us to lay aside everything else. Help us, Lord, just to remember it's you and us tonight. Lord, our spouse can't help us get through, our brother, our sister, our siblings. No matter how much they want to help, Lord, it's got to be us and you is what it comes down to. Help us to lay aside everything else, Lord, every weight, every sin, anything that would hinder tonight. Oh, Lord, may you just move on the scene. Lord, may you speak to hearts. May you grant deliverance. May you grant peace. May you grant victory. Come on the scene in a way only you can, Lord. Lord, in this dark age that we live in, Lord, these young people need encouragement. Lord, may you encourage them in a way that only you can. May you give them the strength for the journey in a way that only you can, Lord. You know their needs, Father God. May you just commune with them tonight about their need, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. To be like Jesus on earth. Oh, don't let him rob you of the victory tonight. Don't let Satan stand in your way. I only ask to be like Him. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He's not too heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, you will find He's not too busy. He'll hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Oh, reach out. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You will find
needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He
tonight. You can come. We'll pray with you. If you need healing, if you need counseling, you need advice, you need prayer, maybe you're going through something, battling something, you just want the brothers to pray with you, we'd be happy to pray with you tonight.
Oh, shine down on me, Lord. Oh, let the light from your
Every promise
For a water baptism. I know there's at least one sister. If there's any other brothers or sisters that's interested, if you go in the back here, they'll direct you where to go. Amen. As they prepare for that, let's sing a couple more songs here.
Oh, walk with me. Don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave. what did I see? Oh, come and hold to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Oh, come and hold to carry me home. Sweet low, sweet chariot, come and hold to carry me home. Sweet low, sweet chariot, come and hold to carry me home. If you get there before I do, come and hold to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to. Oh, come and hold to carry me home. Oh, sweet gold, sweet chariot, come and pour to carry me home. Oh, sweet gold, sweet chariot, come and pour to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Come and pour to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Come and pour to carry me home. Oh, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. It's that old time Holy Spirit, and the dead
to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's given her heart to the Lord and wants to accept Him as her Savior. We just want to place her in these waters as an outward expression of that tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, for our sister, how we thank You for her life, Lord, and how that she's given her heart to You, Lord, I just ask that You be with her. Lord, may You protect her and guide her and lead her all the days of her life, Lord, and may You just put a hedge around her, Father, where the enemy couldn't come in. Lord, may You just give her victory in this life, Lord. And Lord, may You just be a refuge that she can go to in times of trouble. Lord, may You just lead her and guide her into Your perfect will for her life, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Now, may I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
First started leading songs, I sang this song, and it's some people think it's a kid's song, but it's got a really good meaning. So G.
This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Lord, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave it to me. I'm gonna let it shine. My Jesus gave it to me. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave it to me. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, deep down in my heart, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Deep down in my heart, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, deep down in my heart, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus come, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine till Jesus come. I'm gonna let it shine, oh, let it shine till Jesus come. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of just run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Appreciate the presence of the Lord tonight. Man, you appreciate Brother West yielding behind the leading of God for what we'd have need of tonight. Amen. Amen. How many appreciate these young people?
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand tonight.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, this is how I feel about Jesus tonight. Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Wonderful, isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful, oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful, oh, isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful, yes, Lord. Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Oh, I want to hear you sing it to him tonight. This way tonight. I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will A-B-I-D-E, I love. Oh, I want to hear you sing it that way again tonight. Good to be in service tonight. Amen. Glad to have all of our visitors with you. God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight as we sing it together. Every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Oh, I love.